میدی. منو میکشی با این دلبری، اما از اون چشات از اون قد بالا ببین چطور دل منو باده به باد. میگم به جون تو میرم قربون تو، میگه به جون خودت ببر زبون تو. جوری نباش.
داغ تو زوده بابا، تو امشب میشی مهمون مادر، از ما بیشتر درد تو میدونه مادر. امشب میشه مرهم زخم سر تو، عشق سرخ چشمای گریون مادر. بابا تو امشب میشه مهمون مادر، از ما بیشتر درد تو میدونه مادر. امشب میشه مرهم زخم سر تو، عشق سرخ چشمای گریون مادر. دنیا آماده صدق سر حیدر، آرام خاک محضر غم بر حیدر. دنیا آماده صدق سر حیدر، آرام خاک محضر غم بر حیدر. حیدر 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 حیدر. قربون دستای لرزونت بابا، پر خون زلف پریشونت بابا. اشکاتو پاک کن مگه زینب مرده، قربون چشمای گریونت بابا. قربون دستای لرزونت بابا، پر خون زلف پریشونت بابا. اشکاتو پاک کن مگه زینب مرده، قربون چشمای گریونت بابا. دنیا آماده صدقه سر حیدر، عالم خاک محضر غم بر حیدر. دنیا
Hello and welcome to Radio Laura's 40-hour live show. For the next half an hour, we're talking about some underreported stories and turning our focus to a nation that has been at the epicenter of significant political and social tremor, Iran. Iran has been witnessing an eruption of voices demanding change, voices that are brave, resilient, and determined to challenge the status quo. From the streets of Tehran to the far corner of the country, people are rising up and their demands are echoing far beyond Iran's border. I am Dorsa Sutude, your host, came straight from Tehran's street. I've been an underground queer female activist against the Islamic regime in Iran, been in exile since 4 years ago, and I'm here today at Radio Laura to exploring two deeply intertwined aspects of Iran's protest. Right a month before anniversary of Mahsa Amini's murder by the Islamic regime. First, we will take a closer look at Iran's female revolution, which is way beyond just a piece of cloth. It's about women standing up against mandatory hijab law, pushing back against deep-seated gender inequality, and demanding a say in the future of their country, which all is only possible by regime change in Iran. Next, we will explore the usually secret and distressing struggle of Iran's LGBTQIA plus community, a group that is harshly treated, and just to be alive and live the way that they want, they have to risk everything. In a country where being yourself can lead to severe penalties, including death. The fight of the LGBT community for acceptance and recognition is incredibly courageous. You may already be familiar with the 2022 protest in Iran. There was a striking development emerge in the 2022 protest, a clear and resounding call for regime change. We will explore the multi-faceted nature of this protest, which signaled a population and its tipping point, weary of economic hardship, political repression, and lack of basic freedom. But it is important to recognize that protests have been a recurring phenomenon in the country for over four decades since the Islamic Revolution happened in Iran. As time has passed, the intervals between these protests in Iran has been progressively narrowing, indicating a rise level of unrest. Here is what you need to know. The first protest after Islamic Revolution, which was January 7, 1979, was women protests against the mandatory hijab on 8th of March of 1979. So just 2 months after Khomeini got power and forced hijab on women. Since then, Iranian women have been fighting for their basic right of choosing what they want to wear. So let's take a brief look at Iranian women's history. In 1936, Reza Shah Pahlavi initiated a modernization program modeled after Western countries, which included banning the traditional hijab or veil for women and encouraging them to adopt Western dress. And women were given greater access to education and employment during this period. Then his son, Mohammad Reza Shah, from 1941 to 1979, as a part of his white revolution, made series of social and economic reforms, such as gaining women's right to vote and run for the public offices at 1963, increasing the age of marriage and giving women more rights in case of divorce. And you should notice these reforms was way beyond even some European countries such as Switzerland, where women got the vote right in 1971, almost 10 years later. So women entered the workplace in greater numbers and played a more visible role in public life at that time. And with the effort of the Queen, Farah Pahlavi, state-sponsored women's organizations such as Women's Organization of Iran, WOI, were established, promoting a government sanction from women's rights, including laws to protect women from domestic violence and abuse, which was still high, wasn't still high in Iran. In that era, Iran was extremely Islamic and patriarchal society, so you might be able to imagine how unhappy men and mullahs were about these reformation and women empowerment. So women traditionally expected to prioritize their roles as wives and mothers and staying at home to care for the family, which was limiting their access to education and employment opportunities. But after the 1979 Islamic Revolution, the new Islamic Republic led by Ayatollah Khomeini reversed almost all Shah's modernization effort. The hijab or Islamic hand scarf became mandatory for women, and those who resisted were subjected to punishment. And then women need the permission of their father or husband to travel, to work, to engage in certain social activities, and restricts women's total personal freedom. On the other hand, women face legal discrimination in several areas, including inheritance, where they inherit less than men, almost half a man, testimony in court, which is worth half that, like a man's testimony, and then in the matter of divorce and child custody, where men generally have advantage over women, and women basically can do nothing. Women are underrepresented in political and leadership roles, and they're not allowed to run for position of president or supreme leader. Imagine have to living like that, but also they force you to wear hijab and modest clothes. Why? Just because the leader of their stupid revolution, the madman himself, aka Ayatollah Khomeini, decided that women cannot leave home without hijab. I mean, can you even imagine being a woman living such life? Living as a woman there feels like being in a life imprisonment without being in prison. And now, imagine being a woman and also LGBTQ member. LGBTQ LGBTQ identities in Iran are being criminalized by the government with several legal and societal penalties, which force so many to conceal their sexual orientation and identity. However, transgenders usually, they're under heavy societal pressure and harassment, but they are legally accepted. Interesting, right? But hold on, I will tell you why. After the Islamic Revolution, Iran adopted a strict interpretation of Islamic law. So homosexual acts were and still are punishable by severe penalties, including imprisonment, corporal punishment, and in some cases, execution. But Khomeini in the 1980s decided that being transgender is a medical condition, and that transgendering is a cure for homosexuality. Some may remember that back in September 2007 at Columbia University, the Iranian president at the time, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, proclaimed that in Iran, I'm quoting him, "In Iran, we do not have homosexuals like in your country," end quote. So basically, government in Iran believes there is no homosexuality among people. And if somebody feels that way, it's just because they are trapped in bodies with the wrong gender. So for individuals in Iran who do not conform to traditional gender norms or who are homosexual, the cure to their sickness is, they call it, the government effortless strike choice. Face potential criminal prosecution or as a homosexual, or undergo a gender reassignment surgery and legally change your gender. This policy has put Iran in conduct more gender reassignment surgeries than any country in the world, second only to Thailand. There are so many gay men and women that are being pressured into sex reassignment as a way of solving their homosexuality. The painful decision that some individuals in Iran are forced to make due to the criminalization of their natural sexual orientation and the government's promotion of gender reassignment surgery as a solution to this. It's crazy. But despite this hostile environment, our community of activists, both within Iran and internationally, are hardly working to advocate for LGBTQ rights and awareness, but often at a great personal risk. In Iran, the fight for women's rights and LGBTQ rights are closely related, even though they have their own specific issues. Yeah, but both groups are standing up against the strict rules and laws that control how they live and limit their freedom. Let's take a closer look at how their struggle are connected. First thing first, the main problem of challenging patriarchal norms. At the core, both women and LGBTQ people in Iran are challenging a long-standing patriarchal system that favors men. This system puts tight controls on what women are allowed to do and punishes people who don't fit traditional male-female roles or relationships. Both groups are, in a sense, fighting for the right to exist outside of these rigidly defined roles and norms and to be able to live freely. And then it's the right to bodily autonomy. Women's fight against mandatory hijab laws and for reproductive rights, and the LGBT community fight for the right to love and live freely and openly, are both fundamentally about bodily autonomy. They both demand the right to make decisions about their own bodies without the fear of state or societal hatred and discrimination. And then we have legal discrimination. Both women and LGBTQ individuals in Iran face systematic legal discrimination. Both groups are fighting against a legal system that officially treats them as lesser or second-class citizens. Both of this group also has shared tactics of resistance. So both women and LGBTQ activists in Iran have adopted similar tactics of quiet but persistent resisting. Some individuals in Iran live at the intersection of these identities. They're both women and part of the LGBT community, and they are, like me, have a huge role of the bridge between the bridge between this gap that this group has and be able to empower the daily resistance that challenge the status quo. And also, we both have common goals. Ultimately, both women and LGBTQ activists are striving for more inclusive and welcoming Iran. They seek an end to legal discrimination, the right to live without fear, and establishment of society that values and upholds the dignity and rights of all its citizens, regardless of gender or sexual orientation. And that will never happen with the Islamic regime governing in Iran. That's why, representative of both groups, I will say, we want the regime to change. That is the only way, and there is no other way left. All this said is to get to the main point, which I wanted to share with all of you, is that Iran's 2022 protest was mostly, by Western media and Iran's propaganda, of course, was portrayed as a protest only against mandatory hijab. That was not all. The protests were much more extensive, and in their scope and objectives, the catalyst for the protest was sparked by the public's outrage over the tragic and unjust killing of Mahsa Amini, yeah. But there was also the anger of economic woes compounded by years of sanctions, mismanagement, and of course the corruption among almost all mullahs and governors of Islamic regime. In simple terms, the 2022 protests in Iran was like a big clear picture of a country that had reached its breaking point. This protest showed that many different problems in Iran was people were dealing with, and from social to cultural issue to political and economical problems. The people were speaking out not just against specific policies, but also in favor of brighter, more progressive, and hopeful vision for Iran. What stood out the most was that in 2022 protest, more than ever or another protest that happened in past decades, bigger percentage of people in Iran have allied over a common demand, a clear call for regime change. While people outside of Iran might have seen the protests as being about specific issues, for majority of Iranians, the protests were a sign of widespread frustration with the ruling establishment. The Islamic regime that last generation brought to power has lost its legitimacy in the eyes of the current population, the current generation. There was a clear call for a government that is more open, honest, and most importantly, truly representative of people, of its people. And we people of Iran will not stop until this regime is down. Okay, so now that you know what's going on, you might ask, okay, Dorso, and what we can do here, how we can help? Well, there is several ways, and actually, you can be as much important as the activist who is fighting on the ground for freedom in Iran. Now, more than ever, your voice matters. The people of Iran are not alone in their fight for freedom and justice, and your action, big or small, can make a significant impact. Here's how. Number one, advocate for political action. So write to your elected representative or member of parliament. Encourage them not to treat Iran's regime as a normal government, given its human rights record, and ask them to support policies that put pressure on Iranian regime while supporting the Iranian people, a true support of Iranian people, not just words. Write them and follow up your demand from your representative. Number two, raising your awareness. Stay informed about the current situation in Iran. Read news from reliable sources, watch documentaries, and engage with content that deepens your understanding of Iranian people's struggle. Well, I know this might be tricky because Iran's propaganda is huge in Western countries, but there are some weblogs and podcasts that is from people of Iran, and you can trust the sources, such as Femifusion, which is our NGO, and we keep posting blogs about what's going on in Iran, and we keep updating you, and also freeiran.ch, and also our Iran update program at Radio Laura. And then use your social media platforms to share reliable information about the situation in Iran. Post articles, infographics, and story that people don't forget that Iranians are still fighting and it is not over. Okay, number three, support human rights organizations. Consider donating or volunteering with organizations that are working to improve human rights in Iran. These groups are often on front lines of legal and advocacy work that can make real differences. So for you who are in Zurich, find NGOs or Ferien in Zurich that are focusing on Iran and woman life freedom movement. And number four, attend or organize an event. Participate in or organize rallies, webinars, seminars in your town, community, or university that focus on human rights in Iran. Public demonstration of support can send a powerful message. And don't forget, by the way, 16th of September is anniversary of Mahsa Amini's murder by the regime. Iranian all over the world will be in the streets demonstrating. Please, please join them. As much as I know, in my last conversation with the Free Iran group, they informed me that Zurich did not give permission for demonstration at that date, so it will be held in Basel. If you can go, it would be wonderful. It's a big support. And last one. Last year, I started a campaign in Sweden. I made a TikTok video and showing that I cut a piece of my hair, put it in an envelope with a piece of paper that says hashtag Mahsa Amini, and posted to the Iran's embassy in Stockholm. And so many people shared the video, it went viral, and they joined the campaign. And now this year, I'm here and I want to ask Swiss people to do the same. Send a clear message to Embassy of Iran that Mahsa Amini and all those innocent young kids that the regime killed are not forgotten. Cut a piece of your hair, put it in envelope with a paper that says for Mahsa Amini and post it to the embassy in Bern. This can be very effective and frustrate the ambassadors who are enjoying their time in Switzerland with people's money who are suffering in Iran. Okay, I wanted to thank you very, very much to be with me now and listening to me. And don't forget, even in a small action can make huge differences. And I wanted to apologize to those who prefer to hear this in German. Today we had only 30 minutes, so there was not enough time to cover all the subjects in both English and German. I'm working on my German. I hope it gets well soon, but for now I have to just cover it in English. But we will have another day in Feminist Radio and on Monday and discuss all of it again, more deep in German for those who are not comfortable with English to understand. And now I'm gonna prepare Baraye from Shervin for you, but before I prepare it, let's listen to this masterpiece of Mahdiyar one more time. پریشونت بابا عشقاتو پاک کن مگه زینب مرده قربون چشمای گریونت بابا قربون دستای لرزونت بابا پر خون زون
برای توی کوچه رخصیدن، برای ترسیدن به وقت بوسیدن، برای خواهرم، خواهرت، خواهرامون، برای تغییر مغزها که پوسیدن، برای شرمندگی، برای بیپولی، برای حسرت یک زندگی معمولی، برای کودک زبال گرد و آرزوهاش، برای این اقتصاد دستوری، برای این هوای آلوده، برای ولی عصر و درختای فرسوده، برای پیروز و احتمال انقراضش، برای سگهای بیگناه ممنوعه، برای گریه های بیوقفه، برای تصویر تکرار این لحظه، برای چهره ای که میخنده، برای دانش آموزا، برای آینده، برای این بهشت اجباری، برای نخبه های زندانی، برای کودکان افغانی، برای این همه برای غیر تکراری، برای این همه شعارهای تو خالی، برای آوار خونه های پوشالی، پس از شبای طولانی، برای قرصای اعصاب و بیخوابی، برای مرد میهن آبادی، برای دختری که آرزو داشت پسر بود، برای زن زندگی آزادی، برای آزادی، برای آزادی، برای آزادی.
Someone to hold.